Good afternoon, folks. Welcome to another episode of JB's Fam. I can't even talk today. None other than my brother, V. Jason Diaz, a.k.a. Jay the Barbarian. This is my real brother. He was on the last episode, and you're probably going to have him on here a lot, quite often. And we're going to have a continuation from the last episode, and he's going to tell a little bit more about his life. And then we're just going to see where the conversation go. So, hey, Jay, how we doing today?
How you doing, my brother?
I'm doing great, man.
And thank you so much for having me on your platform. You know I love you, and I think the world of you. Hey, listen.
That was a bar, by the way. You know, these young folks.
Well, you know, I tried to be a rapper at one time, but then I realized I was like, the street credibility doesn't match up with your rap, and so cut it off. No, that's I knew. Crazy. But, Barry, thank you so much for having me on your platform, man. I truly appreciate it. And, you know, man, for giving me the position to spread love and happiness, man, because, you know, that's what I'm all about, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he definitely has been on it. I've been the negative one, and he has to constantly remind me, like, yo, boy, like, why? You got to look at it from that perspective. So he's definitely here to spread the love, and I'm appreciating that energy. But yo, let's pick up from where we did last time. You know, tell us a little bit about your life, man. So,
all right, well, from the last interview, man, I listened to it like, you know, 30 times. Because I'm a bit of a narcissist. I'm sorry. Right? But I gotta tell you, man. I gotta tell you, bro. Like, one of the things that I remember that when I told you that I was hanging out with those dudes in the parole probation program,
mm-hmm.
and they were like, yo, Jay, you get busy, man. You a street dude. Like, everybody respects you. Turn Crip. And I turned Crip.
Wow.
And then when I flip-flop, and emphasize on the word flip-flop, then, you know, after doing that for a while and I turned blood, yo, listen, I know that that is extremely frowned upon in the street.
Mm-hmm.
On the West Coast, they call people who do that Transformers. On the East Coast, we don't really have a name for it, but somebody that turns gangs. Like, I remember a lot of Latin kings turned bloods because it was the way to go in the prison. Like, I got to go with the majority because I ain't trying to get killed. You know right. what I'm saying? But the point I'm trying to make is you can frown upon my decision, but I'm Jason Diaz. And at that time, I did what I want. And mm-hmm. you couldn't tell me nothing. So the moral of the story is I was young and I was crazy, and if you knew me back then, you wouldn't have told me nothing. But let's go to more positive things.
Right. He's definitely changed, you know.
Oh, yeah, I've changed.
Over the years, you know what I mean? But, I mean, not to glorify that life, but, you know, understandably, you know, that was how you dealt with what you were dealing with growing up, you know, so trying to survive. So, again, we're not glorifying that life, but understandably, you know, you were just trying to do what you needed to do to survive.
Yeah, but that's the thing that, you know, at the same time, man, I could truly say that there were situations in life that came later
mm-hmm.
that those dudes that I used to be, I won't even say like I used to be Crips, but I used to be cool with. When I was in that situation, I helped them out of a lot of beefs, because whatever flag you banging, whatever set you banging, whatever crew, gang, whatever, if I know you from the street, and if you need my help, and I'm able to help you, I will help you. because I'm your friend. And that's what friends do.
Right. Right.
Straight up and down.
Yeah. I mean,
like, yeah. I don't care about none of the, at the end of the day, you know, I, as a, yo, I'm 45 years old, bro. I'm old. You know what I'm saying? I know I don't look old. I know I look like a young Engelbert Humperdinck. But I know that, anybody that ever came across me and ever needs my help, man, find me on Facebook. Hit me up. If I can help you, I'll help you.
That's right, man. And, you know, these young people, they could learn a lot from this man, you know, because he's seen it all. So, you know, to, you know, come from, you know, humble beginnings and, you know, to deal with a lot of stuff, you know, in the streets, you know, as we all know, you know, there ain't nothing out there, man, you know. So to be able to have another opportunity at life and, you know, you have your own family, you know, you're married to my sister, and, you know, all that stuff is behind you, you know, and it's basically like you're just a new creature, you know. Yeah, you know, he's not one to play with, you know, but still, you know, he's definitely changed for the better. So let's talk a little bit about hip hop, man, because this dude is
woo. Yeah, you know, I was thinking about this all day, right, before we got together today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna give you tidbits of me growing up in New York City,
mm-hmm.
and encountering, now no disrespect to upstate New York, now how you guys might look at hip hop legends,
right,
and how us in New York City, like should we rob him or not?
Right.
Yo, one time,
stories for days.
Yo, one time, man, me and my brother Eric Martinez, I love you, my brother, and Danny Lombino, peace, brother. I don't love him as much as I love Eric, but it's cool. But one time we cut school, we went to FAO Swartz, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was like mad commotion, right? We just cutting school, like trying to find something to do. Mad commotion, man. We see all these white kids, like white young people.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because, you know, New York City does have young, rich white kids. So we walking around and next thing you know, like we see this commotion and it's Biggie Smalls,
mm-hmm.
Notorious B.I.G., rest in peace, Puffy, Sean Combs, Irv Gotti, but back then he was DJ Irv. He was really nobody.
Right.
Craig Mack and just a couple other heads. I don't know who they were. I think one of them dudes was one of the dudes that later on in life, he was on the show making the band. I don't know his name. Forgive me, I don't know his name, but we saw these cats, right?
Right.
And me, and now remember I told you it was me, Eric, and Danny, but there was a lot of other people though.
Right.
You know, there's people from East Hood. And there was one dude, Little Coma. That was his nickname, Little Ray Coma. Me and him, we were just walking around FAO Swartz. Now, if nobody's familiar with FAO Swartz, FAO Swartz is the toy store that's in Home Alone 2.
Right.
Yes. Yes. New York City gangsters used to cut school and go there and pee on the escalator and act crazy until the security guards threw us out.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's in Manhattan, right?
Yeah, of course. Anyway, I mean, you know, we did it just because we're tired of the system telling us you can't be here because, no disrespect to my Caucasian brothers and sisters, but white kids used to cut school there and go, and no one told them nothing. As soon as they saw brown skin, you know, kids that just didn't look white, they used to throw us out and hurt my feelings, man. I wanna fucking Excuse me. I want to effing dance on a piano like Tom Hanks. I want to tap dance on a piano. I can't do that. Why I can't do that?
What's the name of that movie? Yeah. Big, right?
Big,
right?
One of my joints. Shout out Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, I love you, great actor. But if you was on Epstein's Island, then I can't mess with you no more.
This guy.
You need to be exonerated to Rikers Island. And they will show you what you did. But anyway, we was there, man, and these white kids were like all forming a formation and walking to the section of the toy store. And, you know, we hood kids, and we like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, Biggie was trying to get away from them. And I don't know if you remember, there was a frisbee that had these three prongs on it, like a boomerang frisbee. You throw it and it came right back at you.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things they used to do at FAO Sports, they would demonstrate toys. So this one white guy, well, you know, whoever the mess he was, he threw it and it came back and it hit Biggie in the head, right?
Are you serious?
And he got mad. And Biggie was coming through where me and my man Little Ray Como was standing at.
Right.
And he shoved us. He said something, this is some BS.
Right.
As much as I would love to curse. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't curse because this is my brother's podcast and he asked me not to curse and I will not because I love and respect my brother. But I will try to find words to make you understand what I'm saying.
He's doing a pretty good job.
Thank you very much.
He's keeping it clean.
Yeah, but he passed right by us and he was like, get the F out of my way. He shoved us like to the point where he moved to the side.
Right.
Now I can honestly say, like, yo, Biggie Smalls moved us to the side. Some young cats, like,
wow. How old were you probably on this
time? It was before I went to Spofford, so I wanna say I was 14 years old. My mother had died just not too long ago.
Wow.
So yeah. They're like, yo, we were right there. Like, God bless those guys. Puffy, Irv Gotti, and Craig Mack, and a couple other people. I don't know what Biggie was doing. He was walking around like, I don't know, maybe he was looking for toys.
So if you was 14 then, so you didn't have any idea really who they were then?
No, I knew who they were.
Because okay.
Biggie had, everything that Biggie had on in the Big Papa video,
right.
that stupid hat and that bubble coat, he had it on right in front of us.
Wow.
Like, then all the ladies in the place with style and grace.
I wonder if he had just done a video then.
No, it was early in the morning, man, because we cut school.
Right.
Yeah, we cut school,
wow.
Man. Yeah, but that's a true story, man. I mean, hopefully, eventually, man, you can talk to my brother Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Yo, I know they're gonna listen to this, so I'm gonna send it to him. Eric, Jasette, my brothers since day one. I love y'all, man. Thank you so much for being my family when I didn't have any.
That's what's up, man. That's what's up. So tell us a little bit about the start of hip hop for you. You know, like, who were you listening to? How you got introduced?
All right. Now I'm gonna tell you, man. The start of hip hop for me. I remember when my grandmother died.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember, bro, because you know everything was a whirlwind to me. I was so young.
Right.
Kind of think my grandmother died in 89.
Okay.
Because when I was growing up, I slept in my grandmother's room with my grandmother.
Right.
And Jessie, my sister, slept with my mother in my mother's room.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And when my grandmother died, my mother let me keep the room. And I was there by myself. I can't even remember all the transitions that were
made.
Was
that a couple years before your mom passed?
Oh, my mother passed like 2 years later.
Right. So that's probably 89, then probably right on.
I don't even know the dates, bro. I really don't.
Okay.
I wish I did.
Right.
I wish I did so I could tell this story with some authenticity. But all I know is that, you know, I lost my grandmother, and I remember, okay. Fast forward, we had to move out of Franklin Plaza, and we moved to a building across the street. Oh, man. I'm gonna give you a brief synopsis on this story. But we moved into a building across the street on 106th Street between 2nd and 3rd. It was a tenement. And my mother had some friends there. Vicky, Sylvia, my little sisters, Rubelin and Carolyn. I love y'all, man. If y'all ever listen to this, thank you for always being a part of my family. We lived there, and my mother had, I think it was an income tax check. My mother worked her whole life. My mother wasn't not no lazy. You know, I don't like how people be like, yo, man, you got to cut off the welfare. Because the only people on welfare are black and Hispanics.
Right.
Yeah, let me tell you something, bro. I'll say it right now. You heard me? It's like, I knows what's going on in the ghettos.
You funny.
You call me Alligator Daddy. That was crazy. No. I know what goes on. I know the statistics. I know everything. And if you want to do the math, no disrespect to all my Caucasian brothers and sisters, but the highest demographic on welfare is white people.
Interesting.
So it pisses me off when a white person will come out and be like, they need to get rid of the welfare. There was this dude that worked at United Radio, right?
If you don't know what that is, that's a place, electronics place here. They work service TVs, Nintendo, all kinds of electronics. And my brother here was a technician there for many years. So, just to give you an idea of what he's referring to.
Thank you very much. So, yo, there was this one old stinky, like nasty white dude. Like dirty, like just, you know, like just corporate copy of a piece of garbage, right? And one day, like, I don't know what the discussion was. He was like, you know what? We need to get rid of the welfare. And I was like, you know, if these people realize that welfare benefits more white people than anything, they wouldn't say that. It's because they think that welfare benefits us. People that look like us. That's what their problem is.
Well, that's the world today in general. People are gonna try to blast, you know, if they think it's something that.
But that doesn't make you mad.
No, it does. It does.
It's like, we need to get rid of the welfare. I'm like, yo, the welfare benefits your fat ugly daughter. Then it benefits my black struggling family. It benefits your fat, ugly daughter who looks like, I don't know, one of those people from DuckTales. Yeah, it benefits. No, I'm just playing. I'm being mad comedic. But yeah, it really made me mad. Because you know what? Shout out to Dennis Mallon. Dennis Mallon, I love you, brother. And if you watch this interview, peace, brother. You always have my back. That was a little bit where you was kind of shaky, but when you met that girl in Spain or wherever she was, you took a turn, man. I love you. Thank you.
This guy.
No. I'm keeping it real, bro. This is going to be a great interview. But, yo, Dennis had told me, he was like, yo, I don't like the way that guy talks to you. It was a guy at United Radio. Like, he was hung. We used to sit on these desks and do our work. There used to be a a thing right there where the technicians would be like, yeah, yeah, I need a part for this and that. And this dude used to come over. He used to, and I don't know what the discussion was. And he was like, this is what he said one day. He was like, you know what? We need to get rid of the welfare. And Dennis had told me, he was like, yo, man, I don't like the way he talks to you. I'm like, he wasn't talking to me.
So what do you, why do you think that Dennis felt that he was directing?
Because he knew that his statements were like underlying racist.
Right, right, right.
But I didn't care that much because I don't get no points for beating up an old man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and honestly,
yo, boy, you're my brother. You know me, man.
But honestly,
I can't throw them hands as nice as you, but I get busy.
Yeah, but
yo, when I start losing, I'm throwing out the razor blade, man, and I'm gonna put a permanent J on your face.
Well, you're not doing that no more. You definitely have done that, but we won't get into that. But what I'm gonna say is, you know,
have I told you how sexy you are? No, I'm playing, sorry.
But this guy. In all seriousness though, you know, this guy, you know, making that statement, I mean, who did he think was gonna be his support system, Dennis?
No, Dennis held me down. And everybody else in my department stood quiet.
Right.
Because it was just a whack statement. It's like, yo, honestly, this day and age, man, you know, I don't know how, you know, I've never been a racist. I've never been a racist. I've been in situations where you gotta accept everybody and you gotta see where they're coming from. Whether it be white, whether it be Hispanic, whether it be black, Asian, it don't matter. Right? But at the end of the day, yeah, maybe it might come to that point where, but as far as we're here now, if you look out for me, I look out for you.
Right. I mean, everybody has their own struggles, man.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you know me, bro. I love everybody.
Now, he definitely has friends that look like a lot of different, you know.
I definitely have friends that look like Donald Trump.
You've had them.
I still have.
Yeah.
I definitely have friends that look like Jet Li. Nah, I don't know. I think I got one friend that looks like that.
This guy.
No. Actually, you want to hear some funny stuff? Pete was in jail with China Mac. So, yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. They were in jail together. Wow. Pete had told me. He was like, you know what Pete told me? You want to hear a funny story? When China Mac started going on Vlad TV, and me and Pete still talk. By the way, Pistol Pete Figueroa, Ruben Pierre Figueroa, that's my brother, and I love him, and we've been through a lot together. We're not speaking now, but I still love him. He's my heart, and if he ever hears this, then, you know, much love to him, but if he never hears this, and he's still part of my family, I love him. He was locked up with China Mac, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what he told me? He was like, I can't get past him talking like he's black.
Why didn't he talk like that when he's locked up?
No, he did. He did talk like that. He was just like, I can't get past it because he's Chinese. And I was like, yo, I mean, you know, basically he was saying like, I can't be scared of him. Like, he ain't tougher than us. But yo, at the same time, China Mac is a murderer.
Right.
I mean, he's not a murderer. He tried to kill somebody. But so did Pete. So did I. Like, who didn't try to kill somebody in the 90s?
But speaking of hip hop, so.
Oh, you're talking about hip hop, right?
Right, this guy. So, who was the first rapper that you really. Like enjoyed and like that was it for you?
Yo, DJ Quick.
Really?
D DJ Quick from Compton.
So I know you got a little bit of a backstory on, you know, by you being an East Coast guy, you know, but listening to a lot of West Coast music at that age. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, here's the thing, man. My mother used to listen to soul music, funk music. My mother, a light-skinned Puerto Rican lady.
Mm-hmm.
Soul music, funk music, right? So when I used to hear East Coast rap, I used to be like, yeah, it's nice, man. It's great. They used to be like, boom, 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 right? The boom bap shit, right? That's what they call the East Coast shit. But West Coast sampled the funk. They used to be like, dum, da, dum, dum, dum. Dun, 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 right, right. So when I heard, yo, I kid you not, bro, we were living on 110th Street. We got kicked out of Franklin Plaza. And my mother, you know, she had to scramble and find a place for us to live. So she found a tenement building for us to live on 110th Street between 2nd and 3rd Avenue, right on the corner.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we stole somebody's cable. My mom's was a gangster. My mom's was gonna get stuff for us. She was gonna get it for us.
Right.
I don't want to portray my mom's like she's some piece of shit hoodlum. No, my mom's was a hustler. Harlem breeds hustlers. You gonna get it no matter what. Like, I be telling Kenyatta sometimes when she's trying to figure out how we going to do this, and I'll be like, oh, yeah, this is how we going to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, this is how we going to do this. I'm like, we going to lie to these people.
No, man. This guy.
And, no. All right, I won't get no further than that. But, yo, we stole cable from one of the neighbors, and we had Rap City. And I saw DJ Quick. Quick is the name.
Mm-hmm.
I saw a brother just rapping on the street and he had his crew behind him. That was the greatest thing to me. No flashy lights, no nothing. This is like a dude just like, dum, 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 dum. That's the beat.
Right, right.
Dum, 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 dum. Dum, 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 dum. Quick as the name. And yo, he was dope.
Right.
He was like, and then, he was friends with Eazy-E.
Mm-hmm.
And Eazy told him, he was like, we both sound the same, so if we be on the same label, it ain't gonna work out. But he, to this day, he says, yo, Eazy taught me so much stuff. Shout out, yo, rest in peace to the godfather of gangster rap, Eazy-E. One of the things that messes me up about the hip-hop culture is we steady talking about Big and Tupac. Yeah, rest in peace to Tupac. Rest in peace to Biggie. But let me say one thing. Biggie was a regular kid that grew up with a teacher as a mother. And if I'm not mistaken, man, you know, his moms did the best to raise him as a good kid. Mm-hmm. And it was his choice in teenage life to, like, maybe sell drugs and do something.
Oh, definitely.
But all the drug dealers that I know did it because they just wanted us to... It's cool?
Yeah, I was saying
did it because they just wanted to survive.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know no drug dealers that start selling drugs just because they wanted to be labeled drug dealers. And as far as Tupac goes, I don't want to get my chop. I don't want to get my head chopped off for this.
Yeah,
but
I mean, people have their opinions.
Yeah, but
that.
You know what? Let's be real. Let's just say you were not those people that were behind you.
Well, people say that about.
But
them.
Anyway,
right?
Is the point I'm trying to make? Eazy-E, do your research. He was the real deal. Everybody from Compton vouches for it. Like, yo, he was a hustler. He wasn't scared of nobody. Suge was scared of him. Suge was like, yo, I don't want to deal with him. Let's put that to the side. Eazy-E was a real gangster.
Mm-hmm.
Big Pun, how come nobody mentions him? Big Pun was a legend. And then from what all the people that were Nori and all those people, they're like, he was one of the greatest people ever.
But do you think a lot of that is because the fact that he, Big Pun, you know, his, it was short-lived by him dying so early? You know,
yeah, he died early because he couldn't take care of himself, but he was still a, like...
Well, I'm saying that you think that's the reason why people didn't get a chance to really... So you think that, you know, by Big Pun, you know, his career being short-lived with him passing away so early, you think that people didn't get a chance to really get to know how dope he was?
Yo, bro, he was nice. And he also, for his size, he, one of the things that everybody used to always look at was that he kept his breath.
Right.
He like, but yo, yo, you know, everybody that praises Eminem's whack ass for, like, yo, Pun was doing that. Pun was doing that before his whack white ass. Oh, sorry. So my apologies. But yeah, Pun was yo, you gotta listen to his freestyles on Deep Cover and all this stuff, man. Pun was beyond his time, man. And I'm not just saying that because he's Puerto Rican. I'm just saying that because he's a black brother that was gifted.
Right. And you know, you said something interesting there that people don't think about something as, you know, specific as like breath control. You know, you hear it often with singers, but you don't hear that with rappers. But that makes a lot of sense.
Yo, bro, he was 550 some pounds, and he did it.
Right.
He kept his breath control.
That's what's up.
Straight up and down. Come on, man.
So you were listening to West Coast early. A big reason you said DJ Quick, and then I know you're like the biggest Eazy-E fan there is.
Oh my God. Yo, let me tell you something about Eazy-E.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you something that I love about Eazy-E. When I found out later in life that he was such a great person, it made me love him even more. Yo, bro, Cocaine, who's a rapper that, like, Cocaine, I'm gonna give you the science of the NWA family tree. Cocaine is one of the rappers from under the NWA umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
Cole 187 is a member of Above the Law. Yo, bro, when I was in New York City, just came out of jail, one of the first albums I bought was Above the Law, Black Mafia Life.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Yo, you come out of jail and you know, I'm Puerto Rican, but you know, I'm a black brother. Right. You know, anybody that might be like, no, you ain't, I'm gonna be like, yo, I'm black and proud.
Right.
Say it proud. I'm black and I'm proud. Yeah, yeah. Whatever you wanna say, man, you know how I get down. You see my sister? You see my grandparents?
Yeah. Yeah, your grandfather was blacker than me. Definitely. Definitely.
Tyrese is my grandfather.
He's bad.
No.
About the same complexion, though.
Yeah. You know who said that?
Who's that?
Tisha said that.
Did she?
She saw Papa when I had him on the refrigerator in High Bitch Street. She was like, who is that man that looked like Tyrese?
What? Like,
that's my grandfather.
Wow.
Anyway, but
shout out to Tisha. That's family there.
Tisha, I love you. Hope you're doing great. But yo, bro.
So you said Eazy-E?
Eazy-E, man. Like, I used to love DJ Quick, right? Used to love DJ Quick, but Eazy-E was just that. Yo.
So what was it about Eazy-E specifically, like, that just...
Well, I'm gonna tell you, man, because there was a time in New York City where Dr. Dre came out with The Chronic. He came out with Dre Day, and you know, I don't want to say it. I was about to say something, but I ain't gonna say it. I'm gonna try to say my words in words that don't disrespect your platform, because I know you don't want me to say nothing bad, right?
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah.
Dr. Dre just found a lot of followers.
Right.
Just people would be like, yeah, Dr. Dre's the best, and the Chronic, and Dre Day, and all that stuff. But here's my thing. Being a person that been to prison and is from the streets and has done street stuff, I looked at Dr. Dre and I'm like, man, that's fake. I looked at Eazy-E and I'm like, yeah, I know Eazy-E's story. That dude is real.
So I got an interesting question with that. Now, obviously, nowadays, there's a lot of, we have a lot more information. So you being younger back then, what made you think that Dre wasn't as authentic? Like, what did it for you?
Because he didn't grow up in the hood. He didn't have to go through the struggles that hood people had to go through. Also, he used to dress, no disrespect to my brothers and sisters that, you know, that if you're one of my brothers and you like to order Meat Lovers Pizza, that's your, you know, that's up to you. But, I already knew. Eazy-E was, Eazy-E, no disrespect to MC Ren. Eazy-E and MC Ren were the only real gang-banging street people from NWA. Trust me, I did my research. And Eazy-E is, yo, not the only fact that he was such a wonderful person. I sound like such a, yo, straight up and down, man. Eazy was the real deal, man. Like, people don't, when I saw that NWA movie, it made me so mad. And I was like, leave it up to the two dudes with mad money to portray this picture. Yeah, you might try to give Eazy some little bit of props, but you made him look whack.
So you, that was your issue with the film? Like, you think that they...
Yo, bro, the people... If you don't mind, bro, one day when you ain't got some, when you got some time, listen to the Rhythm D interview on Big Court. Big Court is that rapper that used to be on No Limit. Yo, even I'm not even a fan of Master P. I don't even like Master P. I wish he would just like go to bed and go some sleep and.
Well, I mean, Master P. He did a lot for people, though. I mean, that's still,
You know why he's losing his credibility? Because he lies too much.
Yeah, well,
but you know what he did say?
What's that?
He did say, when I came to the West Coast, Eazy-E told me, like, yo, man, give me a record and I'll run into the labels. And you know what? All the label representatives from the different radio stations, they're like, yeah, I remember Eazy bringing this country ass nigga up. Yeah, man. But the point I'm trying to make is that the movie Straight Outta Compton pissed me off, man. Eazy-E was a great person, like a straight up honorable stand up guy. And what happened to that? Because you know what?
So you're saying what happened to that as far as rappers today?
But you know what's crazy is that, yo, bro, you can ask people on the street right now in Syracuse, and they'll be like, yo, you can ask them, you know Jason Diaz? They'll be like, yeah, I used to work with him. That's a real nigga. I'll show you post right now that I screenshotted. I actually screenshotted a post that I wanted to show you.
So, with that being said, your whole issue with these particular rappers, M, Dre, you had an issue with their authenticity.
Yo, listen. If you're not real, don't portray to be real. That's it.
So that would be like if we would equate it to the modern day Soulja Boys and whoever else, you know. I get what you're saying.
Yeah, listen. Do what you want. Have a good time. But don't ever ask me to relate with you. I'm over here. I'm over here with the real niggas.
Okay, so, all right. You just put a thought in my head then. Then we can argue, though. Then there's the hip-hop rapper for different individuals. But you're just saying that if a person didn't lead that particular life, don't try to portray that.
Okay.
Is that fair to say? That's what you
Yeah, mean? Yeah. If you didn't live that type of life,
right?
Don't you ever in your fucking... sorry. Don't you ever in your French toast mouth try to portray that part like you're from the street. Yo, please, leave the street for the street people.
That's fair.
We'll deal with it. We're okay over here. We don't need no help. Worry about your suburban life. Worry about if your mother's gonna wake up today. Like, yeah, we're okay. We're all right. Yeesh.
So, who are you listening to nowadays?
Oh man, who I listen? Of course, I listen to old school all the time.
Right, but is there?
Well, I gotta tell you who I listen to. One of the greatest new artists I listen to, and yeah, he might not. He ain't talking no positive, but he is nice. Larry June.
Okay.
Larry June. If y'all don't listen to Larry June, listen to Larry June. Of course, I listen to everything that I love. Action Bronson.
Okay.
He's saying that like you never knew. I always listen to Action Bronson. I mean, I listen to everything I always been listening to. Beat Nuts, Eazy-E, DJ Quick, AMG, Second Amendment.
You prefer more
IC, Bone Thugs.
So, well, I already know the answer to this. You don't respect most rappers that are out today. But I was trying to find out.
No.
Is there anybody that's new?
I respect many rappers that's out today. It's just that, unfortunately, everything they talking. Yo, Bobby, you're talking to a straight up New York City criminal. I don't want to hear regurgitated BS from just some kids from the suburbs. You know who makes me mad? Benny the Butcher, West Side Gun, Conway. These are dudes from Buffalo, and they talk all this street stuff, and I'm like, I respect that, but I guarantee you guys ain't never had to deal with no real, real street stuff.
So, any positive rappers out there that you like?
I still love Common.
Yeah, shout out to Common. That's definitely one of my favorite rappers.
And, you know, I just go to Spotify and throw on Chill Mix and just deal with that, bro. Sorry, I don't know what these guys that you listen to portray a picture, but I really was in prison. I really wasn't right.
Well, you know who I listen to, so I don't really listen, as far as hip-hop goes, I don't listen to anybody.
Yeah, I know. You listen to Jack La Cante. No, I don't know that. I'm just joking. But I don't like, I said it a long time ago, man. I said it to my man, Dave Dar. Dave Dar is from the band Brew Brothers. Him and Curious. You know, I sing the music. And they were all about positivity. And I was like, I don't like these upstate New York dudes using New York City sounding rap to talk these drug raps. Like, shut up. that phase is over.
Right.
West Side Gun and Conway Vank. I'm in the yam sitting keys with the Colombians. I'm in the yam. Shut up.
But here's something that did happen positive recently that you put me on to, which is interesting. What was that? With the 200 rappers?
Oh, K-Slay?
Right.
That was dope.
Shout out to K-Slay for that.
Rest in peace, K-Slay.
Yes.
Used to be best friends with my mother, Martha Diaz, and Anna Maria. That's my family. Rest in peace, Gessler. I love you.
But that's our time for...
Oh, wait. One more thing. Can I...
Don't put it yeah, go ahead.
Before my brother Jabari cuts us off, I was in Central Booking one day. I was young. I got caught up, and I was in there. And Kay Slay was in there. Now, when I say Kay Slay, I didn't know who he was. But I remember him and this Puerto Rican dude banding together to rob this Chinese dude. They elbowed him in the face. They took everything that was in his pockets. And I don't know if you recognize what Central Booking is in New York City. You can be in there with all your belongings. So you have your money, you have your jewelry, and all of that. And Kay Slay and this Puerto Rican dude robbed this Chinese dude for all his shit. But the point I'm trying to make is... my mother also knew Kay Slay from East River Project, and they grew together. But yo, Kay Slay, I love you. Thank you for everything you have done for the hip hop community. Rest in peace, Drama King. But you know what? You always talked about drama, but you're really a great guy in real life. Thank you, and I love you. Peace.